This is Mame Warren. Today is the 10th of February, 1997. I'm in Dallas, Texas with John Stemmons. And boy, I have been looking forward to chatting with you, mostly because of the interesting time you came to Washington and Lee. What brought you to Washington and Lee in the first place? What was the attraction?
I had a brother preceding me. He was a great devotee of the Confederacy, and he was a lawyer, and so it just followed that I would go to a W&L, having never been there, knowing nothing about it. But it was a great choice.
Tell me why.
Well, I was a country boy raised in a small town, Dallas. I had been given the privilege of travel with my family, my father. My mother died when I was 6 months old, so I never knew her. By the way, she went to school in Stanton. At the school there, I forgot.
Mary Baldwin?
Mary Baldwin.
Oh.
And, but she died right after my birth. And so I never saw her. But we had lots of trips together with family. Never as I remember it as a youngster before going to W&L to Lexington. But all over the world, all over the continental United States, in Canada, in all the states of the Union, and New England, but not necessarily in the South. But the idea that I could go and to a school like that. I was not a good student. I hadn't been a good student in high school, had not been, and was not a good student at Washington Lee. But I enjoyed it tremendously because it was a cosmopolitan atmosphere that taught me a great deal more than I think the book learning would. I became connected and associated with people from all over the country. They broadened my views of things. And I think it gave me a real, wonderful, liberal education, though I was certainly never a student, like my brother-in-law, who put me on this board.
Well, we're glad he did, from what I understand. Do you remember your first impressions when you got to campus, what you thought of the place?
Well, in the days of you travel by either automobile or train, mostly by train. And I sojourned up to Stanton, Virginia, by transferring on trains from Dallas to St. Louis to Stanton. And having had this brother of mine who was a very prominent person at the school, he was a great football player, he was a great athlete, he was a good student. He took his law degree there. The law degree was given there in 5 years. And I had introductions to many of his friends, and mostly to the friends in his fraternity who decided that they wanted me to join their lodge, and which I did, and enjoyed it tremendously.
So that's how you became a Beta?
That's right. Dr. Smith used to say when his son was a Beta, he said, I'd rather my son be a godly Beta than a drunken, carousing Frido to Theta.
That's correct.
Dr. Smith was the president of the university and welcomed me at his home every time I came into it, because as I was a perfect stranger to it. he was a great person.
Tell me about him. I'm very curious about him.
Well, he was a scholar, simply a scholar. This was his fort in life. He had a family that lived on campus, and two of his boys went to school there, and they became Betas. He frankly, unlike Dr. Gaines, who came to the school to meet every one of us and recognized the names of the whole freshman class on the party that they always had for the newly arrivals. But Dr. Smith would never remember a single thing, just like I don't now. But he was a scholar and a wonderful man to head the school. That's about all I can say to him. He's a wonderful gentleman.
So you were there during that transition when Smith left and Gaines came in?
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. an interesting time. Yeah. Tell me about that.
I know nothing about it other than the fact that Gaines came in. And he was, Smith had been so awestruck from the student standpoint to have a man come in, congeniality expounding from himself, was a very great transition. Gaines was a brilliant man, but he was the man that I think invented the Nutt Institute that you remember. You've got to put your mind on some little spot to remember every name of every man that you ever knew. And he did that. And he was he followed through and as president tremendously well. As I think Smith did well, very well during his tenure, but Gaines was made a real mark for the school himself and himself during the time that he was there, because hell, he knew every student by name, and he was congenial.
I understand there were several deans who could do that too, at least later on. I just think that's remarkable.
That's just absolutely amazing.
And it seems to have made such an impression on everybody, because everybody wants to be known and recognized.
Right.
I think that's part of why everybody loves Washington and Lee so much.
Well, you know, I had difficulty thinking about this meeting, trying to recollect the names of certain people, and I simply do not recall, and have not been able to recall, the name of the president of the school when they put me on this board.
Oh, wouldn't it have been Bob Huntley or Fred?
No, I never. No, no, hell,
okay,
I had.
I put
Bob on the board, but this was the president before him.
Then it was Fred Cole.
Fred Cole, that's right.
Fred Cole.
And he went up to the education section of New England or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Real great guy, but I had forgotten his name.
That's who it was. I talked to his son recently.
His what?
I talked to one of his sons recently.
Is that so?
Yes, Fred Cole has died, but I talked to one of his sons.
Uh-huh.
Went through a lot of his papers. Now, I'm real excited to be talking to you, because you're one of the few people I've talked to who was there during Prohibition times and the Roaring Twenties. Were they roaring in Lexington?
Well, honey, when the boys met me at Stanton, they took me to the Beta House, and even though a Beta didn't pin a pledge button on me, Phi Delta Theta called and said that he was bringing me down and he was going to put the Beta button on me. Simply because I was one of four young brothers. Bill Thomas, who was editor of this book, Calyx. And three other boys were hand-me-downs. So they indoctrinated me to the Beta House and how it was operated. And while there were very few automobiles owned by the students, there were a few. And I was told that we would, in a couple of weeks, go to the mountains. So we went to the mountains, and we passed people that looked suspiciously like they didn't like us there. And the further we went into the mountains, while the further the people were reticent to accept us. But finally, we came upon one old farmer who knew the crew that was there. And we went to the wood piles here and the wood piles there, and we took mason jars out of that one, and we took mason jars out of this one, and we took mason jars out of that one. And we drove back with 60 gallons of whiskey.
60 gallons?
60 gallons of whiskey in mason jars. White corn whiskey. I was given the opportunity and took it to take a tin cup and hold it under the still and let it drip to the still and taste the whiskey, and it was nearly poison because there was so much oil in it. But the stories that are told about the school in Prohibition are so, they're true. Most of them are true, I'm sure.
But you see, I haven't heard many stories, so I'm asking you to tell me the stories.
Well, that 60 gallons, we took it back to the lodge house, and we acquired some charred kegs. They were charred in the center of the kegs, and we poured the water or the whiskey into those kegs. And we also had some iodine sticks that we called them iodine sticks that would color the whiskey real fast. But we'd put those kegs in, and sometimes we goats in the lodge house had to get in a rocking chair and rock the whiskey in the keg to where it would mellow faster. But there was many times when we went back to the mountains and got more supplies. At one time, I remember distinctly, we hid them in the coal bin, and there was an investigation by the administration about whether we had whiskey in the house or not. They knew we had whiskey in the house. But they never did find the bottles that were hidden in the coal bin. But we dug lots of holes and planted the kegs, and I frankly think that I still have one keg of whiskey under the Beta house that I should go and resurrect.
I dare say you should. Wouldn't that be a great thing to do for the 250th anniversary?
It really would.
We could have a ceremony.
Well, when they had some sort of a clam bake there, that they gave away whiskey. I have a bottle of that, by the way, and still have it in my bar. That Washington Lee's best whiskey, of course, this was still legal. It was legal then. But there were times when you could get a doctor to give you a prescription with which you can get a bottle of Old Crow whiskey, something like that, from some little town next to Lexington.
Really? Well, good for what ails you, huh?
Hmm?
It's good for what ails you, huh?
Oh, honey, it was... The boys used to go to Kentucky to the basketball games. And there was a medical school in Lexington, I guess, in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. That would sell them plain white lightning alcohol. And we too used the alcohol. We'd always got it as we could, but we used the alcohol to play tricks on people. And when we drink this corn whiskey, we either had to drink it with some sort of a soda pop that would kill its taste, or find a chaser, just jug-a-luck it down and get a chaser of some sort. And I remember one time we had a little glass of the whiskey. Of course, it would be, by this time, brown, gorgeous brown color. It was nice, when it came out of the still, it was creamy white. We had a party of some kind, and man took a drink of corn, and then he got a glass to take it to chase it, and it was alcohol. And damn near, he nearly died. But we had a good time. We enjoyed what we called rot gut, and frankly, a young kid from the West, Wild West, I didn't know a thing in the world about whiskey except possibly a little wine and a little beer that my father would make. But the stuff flowed freely.
Did anybody ever get hurt from this stuff? I've heard stories in the past about people, not in Washington and Lee, but about people getting hurt from drinking some country
stuff. I'm sure they did, but as far as I know, no one ever got injured physically from drinking the whiskey. I don't say they wouldn't get injured, but mm-hmm. they got over it.
Well, that's good. That's good. Actually, heard back where I came from, I heard about somebody dying from drinking it.
I'm sure they did, because I'm sure they poisoned by it. It's the worst stuff you ever saw in your life, and lots of it was oil, and but it was the thing to do.
I guess it must have been worth it.
It was the thing to do. We used to have a good time doing it.
So, was this something that just the Washington and Lee gentlemen took part in, or did your dates have a good time and have a drink or two as well?
They had to. They would doctor the stuff up to where it would taste at least acceptable.
And did you have a car when you were there?
No, I didn't.
But did you go down the road? Did you get to the women's colleges?
Frequently, but not much. Not much.
Do you have any memories of road trips? Do you have any memories of road trips?
Well, not to the schools. I didn't go to Hollins and Macon, and I really went to, we probably went to Randolph-Macon more than we did to Hollins or Sweetbriar. And we went to Southern Seminary some, and to the school in Stanton some, but not a great deal. I never did, that was not my forte at that time. But the girls would come over, and they would come over for all the festivities and dances, and we had a good time.
Did you go to fancy dress?
Yes, indeed. I think we went to all of the parties.
What do you remember about that?
I was never a good dancer. And it was an occasion for drinking rather than dancing.
I was looking at the yearbooks from your time period, and I saw that the theme for fancy dress, one of the years you were there, was Robin Hood.
Yeah.
You remember those costumes?
No, I don't. I certainly don't. but they did a good job in fancy dress. They knew how to throw a good party.
Well, they still do. They still do. I've never been to a place that has better parties than Washington and Lee. So I got to ask you about a couple of people in particular that I would love to know something about. Did you know Annie Jo White, the librarian?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Tell me about her.
But not well. She lived up on the croup of the street, ran from Washington Lee from the Beta House. Just casually, but not anything that I could remember. And I'm impressed with it. I thought she was a grand gal, and that's all.
I understand she rented rooms out?
What's that?
She rented rooms to students? Did you know anybody who lived there?
I don't know. There were a number of houses up in that area. He's on W. Comes from WL to BMI.
Mm-hmm.
Good many houses in that area, and two of my good friends from Dallas had rooms there, and I don't remember whether they were Miss White's or not. I just don't remember. But we had a, when I first came to Washington Lee, I had a room way up on the opposite direction from that. But I didn't live in the dormitory. I lived in that private home, and it was a very nice thing to do.
So you never lived in the dorm?
Yes, I lived in the dorm.
Uh-huh.
I never lived in the dorm. I lived in the lodge house.
Mm-hmm.
But never in a dormitory.
So you lived in a private home as well?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Oh, it was a delightful, delightful home, and I couldn't remember the lady's name who owned the home. But she was such a wonderful girl. There were several people from Dallas that lived in one half of it, and my cousin and I lived in the other quarter of it, and from another quarter was from other people. My father thought that this brainy cousin of mine who had gone to Illinois would be a good environment, set a good environment for me. And so he came to Washington Lee, graduated there, by the way, in law, and was actually the secretary of the United States Steel Corporation. Good student, and God knows I needed some tender care. But it was good. It was interesting living. The transition was a little bit better than just coming into the dormitory. But of course, we were half a mile from the school, and we didn't walk that frequently. We just go when we had to. Mine was a life of play and enjoyment at W&L. You know, this fellow that just gave Washington Lee a lot of money from San Antonio. And Dr. Deshay told him, said, "You're neither a gentleman or a scholar." Kicked him out. And then he gave $2 or $3 million, $12 or $13 million to Washington Lee later on. I was certainly not a scholar, but I enjoyed the camaraderie of that great institution.
Well, you know, we all talk a tiny bit about the academic side of things. Were there any teachers who made a difference for you?
What's that?
Were there any teachers whose classes you did enjoy?
Yes, and I've tried to remember the names of the professors that taught the things that I really reveled in. I primarily came up there to make a major of engineering. But I never did do well in it. Physics was a pretty rough deal for me. I just don't have the memory to keep those names, though, and I can't tell you.
That's perfectly okay.
The man called Comparative Religions was very interesting to me. The man that taught about development of the sheep industry was especially interesting to me.
The sheep industry.
Because of Texas. Uh-huh. I was from Texas. And the sheep industry was all pretty much cornered at that time in West Texas. And I became very interested in his classes.
So you were in the Commerce School?
Hmm?
You were in the Commerce School, is that right? School of Commerce?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something must have rubbed off on you. You've done all right.
Well, it wasn't because I studied.
Now, I've got to ask you about a story that you may or may not know a thing about it, but I've heard rumors that sometime, and I think it was before you were there, some group of students hijacked a train. You ever heard that story? You know anything about it? You know, it sounds like a great story, but nobody seems to know when it happened or who did it or what. And it seems like there must be somebody out there who heard about that. I keep hoping.
Well,
I ask everybody.
It was not during my tenure, I don't think. But the train was the accepted travel. And in the 1920s and 30s and 40s, you went by train and you didn't get on an airplane. Now, we did have, during my tenure, we've had a couple of boys that were graduated and flew airplanes, and they would fly down to Lexington and put on a little show.
Really?
Uh-huh. Out towards in the area of Roanoke Road.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. But not much. We drove a car many times when I went home. Some of the boys were from Dallas, and they had a car, and I drove with them.
Well, that must have been educational. You saw a lot of the country that way.
Yes, we did. As a matter of fact, when I first went to one of the times I went to Washington Lee, I had a relative and a dear old aunt in Charlotte. And I took an uncle of mine with me, and we drove to Charlotte and to Lexington. And I don't know where in the world I got the car, because I didn't have it at school. But most of the time, though, we went by train, and I'm sure that if it were during my stay at Lexington and there was a train robbery, I would have known that.
Well, I think it happened before you, but I figured it must have been such a big deal that people were still talking about it by the time you got there.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't want you to know about it so you wouldn't get any ideas yourself.
Yeah, that could be.
Now, the other thing I noticed when I was looking in your yearbook is that you were there at the same time Lee Williams was. Did
mm-hmm.
you know him?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, he was legendary.
Big old tall boy and great athlete, and just a hell of a nice guy.
Tell me about him.
I never did know him but casually, but I knew him on the football field, and he was a... He was a good athlete, real good athlete.
He seems to have been involved in everything.
Yes, I think he was. I didn't know. Well, we get that. Give me that calyx over here, and let's see what he was involved in.
I think he was in at least four sports.
Well, he was in my class.
I'm going to pause while you look.
Football, 1, 2, 3, 4. Basketball, 1, 2, 3, 4. Baseball, 1, 2, 3, 4. Captain, 3. Track, 1, 2, 3, 4. Southern Conference champion for 440. Monogram Club, president, 4. Champion indoor and outdoor mile relay, vice president, athletic association. He's just a hell of a damn all-around person, and was a tremendous athlete. Now, I suspect he was a good student, but I don't know. From Norfolk.
From Norfolk? Well, he sure seems to have been an asset to the school. He seems to have been an asset to a school.
Oh, yeah, he was a good asset. He was a real fine asset. Hartwell Lee Williams, Jr.
Now, another
Phi Kappa Sigma, ODK, Sigma.
Another story I've heard connected with Lee Williams is that it was Lewis Powell who went and got him and talked him into coming to Washington and Lee. Do you know anything about that?
He probably did.
Did you know Lewis Powell?
Very well.
Oh, tell me about him as
Very
a student.
Well, Lewis was a great man on campus. He was a no frivolous boy, but he was a good fellow on campus. I think he was a Phi Psi, as I remember it.
He was class of 29.
Well, class of 31 law.
Maybe so.
Must be, because...
I think the law class is up in the front.
Ross Malone was a real great man in... Well, I don't know. Coach Lewis was on his board with me. And of course, when Lewis was on the damn court, one thing or another, so we'd have meetings, and I had a meeting in Washington at the Marriott Hotel out on the what was the big airport out from Washington?
At Dulles?
Dulles. And I had to raise some money for the school. And I got them all these people in that room. And I said, we're going to have a Baptist meeting. I'm going to lock the damn door, and by God, we're going to get the money, by God, right now. We're going to raise this money now, and we're not going to let anybody out. Well, Lewis ate me out. God damn, he ate me out and absolutely just said, don't ever do that to me again. Don't ever do that to me again. And because I kidded him about it. But he came by Dallas one day and apologized for chewing me out. But Lewis was a good student, a wonderful person on campus, and I have known him and seen him considerably since then. I was on the board with him, and quite frequently I go to see Jack and something like that, and we'll normally at church or somebody see Lewis. He's a great guy.
From what I understand, that's true. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him yet, though. need to turn the tape over.